If you didn't know, last week we held our second ever Social Minds Live event, this time in London. It was a bumper day full of home truths, healthy debate, and savvy solutions. Our keynotes, panels, and Q&As heard from our speakers Oatly, Mob, American Express Global Business Travel, Meta, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, as well as a handful of social chain's brightest minds. There were also spectator seats filled with tons of exciting brands and brains, so if you were one of them, thank you so much for joining us for what was a fantastic day. But if you weren't able to make it, this week is for you. We have a big week in store for you, full of the content that you missed, as every single day from Monday to Friday, we'll be sharing a brand new episode, chock full of insights from the world's biggest brands. On today's episode, you'll hear Oatly's keynote presentation, in which its global media director Sarah Sutton explained the inner workings of a company as infamous and illustrious as our favourite oat milk brand. The headlines were, "Be consistently inconsistent, let creators create, and never bore the hell out of people." But keep listening to hear in detail what Sarah had to say on Oatly's success. Our first speaker of the day is Sarah Sutton. She's the Global Media Director at Oatly. Oatly, of course, needs no introduction. You'll all be well aware of them. It's copy, ads, campaigns. They rarely fail to create those really fame-driving moments, even if that means causing a bit of controversy. But what some of you might not know is Oatly is currently undergoing somewhat of a transformation when it comes to its social output, trying to make that more sophisticated without losing its fearlessness and its sort of experimentation edge that we're all used to seeing. But I will let Sarah tell you the rest. So please join me, put your hands together for Oatly's Sarah Sutton.
Thanks, Eve.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Hi, everyone. Nobody's ever given me a microphone like this before. It could be dangerous. And I'm sure there'll definitely be some toxic renditions coming up. So, yeah, thanks to the incredible team at Social Minds for this invitation. And most importantly, to you all for giving me 25 minutes or so of your precious time. Especially when I'm here to talk about stuff that I personally only play a tiny part in. Because the real credit goes to the phenomenal content studio, social strategists, and paid media team that I get to work with every single day. I'm going to do my best to keep this entertaining. I've done a classic keynote trick and included lots of videos, so I can minimize the amount of chatter that I have to bring. But also that's probably because there's very little that I can tell these great minds in the room about how we build a distinctive brand on social. But hopefully what you'll take away from this is just, you know, ways in which you might want to look at breaking the rules, ways at which you might want to start thinking about doing things a little bit different internally. But before I get into a little bit more about Oatly, maybe I should spend a little moment setting the scene and telling you a bit about myself. Promise only 20 seconds. Prior to joining Oatly, I had 22 years agency side, many years learning my craft at Dentsu's Kara and WPP's Mindshare, working predominantly on brands like Nike and Unilever, Volvo, and any other brand that the agency would put my time against. And in 2019, I was lured to the creative agency side, where I had a brief stint, albeit humbled by COVID, at 72 and Sunny, where I was head of planning and comp strategy. I think it's safe to say that working on some of the world's biggest brands with some of the world's best creators allows me to stand here today with a touch of swagger and a lot of humbleness when I talk about the things that I'm about to talk about. And I think it's fair to say as well that the same holds true today. I get to work with some phenomenal creative talent and a phenomenal team of specialists that actually make my job super easy. So now you know a little bit about me, let me tell you about Oatly. So if you didn't know, we're a Swedish company and we make oat drink. That's right, oat drink, because we are not legally allowed to say milk, but you are, and that's important. In Europe, anyway, I think the legislation will change in the US at some point too. But we were founded in the 1990s, and that may also come as a bit of a shock to you. I think people think we're still a relatively young brand, but we are actually 30 years old. But the brand breakthrough, or the brand at least as you know it today, came about in 2012, when John Schoolcraft, our chief creative officer, joined the company and infamously fired the marketing department. If you ever get a chance to see John speak, I highly recommend it, but I would never want to follow him on stage. Here's John, genuinely prancing around the office in his cow costume. The personal connection that John had with our then CEO, Tony Peterson, actually created the phenomenal culture of fearlessness that we have at Oatly. And this is a culture where we were taught and are still taught to be unafraid, to stand up for what we truly believe in, with the absolute confidence that our growth can be a force for good for people and ultimately the planet. And we do have confidence because we're backed by science. And it's really easy to have confidence and swagger when you've got science on your side. Because it's true, every single carton of Oatly sold is a win for the planet. With carbon emissions of up to 80% lower than cow dairy, every litre of oat milk that we sell, oat drink, sorry, scratch the record, every litre of oat drink that we sell that is bought to replace traditional dairy is a real win for the planet. This is not an ad, so I don't have to substantiate these claims, but if you do want to see some substantiation to my 80% claim, then please do check out oatly.com for the facts. And the good thing about our product and our company is sustainability and products are two of the same thing. A lot of companies exist today where they're having to find their purpose. And actually, if they have sustainability on one side, what they're actually building as a company or as a product may sit on the other, and the two are often not very connected. But for us, our purpose is baked into our product. So while other brands have to work that all out, ours is pretty simple. So whilst it's a mighty task to achieve, it's really simple to articulate. And we want to be a once-in-a-generation company that leads a global movement to reduce cow's milk by half. Massive task, especially when around 90% of the global population drink cow's milk. But everything we do as a company is in service to this mission. And leading the charge to achieve our mission is, of course, the whole company. But there's one department that is truly instrumental in helping us achieve this global conversion from dairy to oat. And that's the Oatly Department of Mind Control. And this is the department that myself and my team sit in. We call ourselves the ODMC, not to be mistaken for a marketing department. We're a team of makers and creators. Sounds like a marketing department. Arrogant, brilliant, and sometimes maybe even modest. But seriously, like, it is an incredible team of in-house creatives and multidisciplinary specialists from media, events, digital experience, and PR, all working together to deliver that company mission in unpredictable and fearless ways. Did I say social? Because we do have a phenomenal group of social strategists, content creators, community managers. We should give them a whoop whoop, and paid social expertise as well. So shall we talk about social? Probably should. You could say that this is our social point of view. It's somewhat of a broad statement. I think we all aspire to have world-class content. I can imagine a world where I might stand here and go, we want global subpar content. That will probably hit a strategy deck at Oatly some point soon. And of course, you want some uniformity to ensure that people recognize your brand. And yet, we have another behavior that runs through our line of work, and that is to be consistently inconsistent. Never be expected. People shouldn't guess what you do next, because where's the fun in that? And also, I think if you have kind of this tight strategy in place and you know what you're making constantly, it's not much fun for your creative team either. So how do you kind of keep it fresh and exciting? And the way we do that is to have a strategy that is always work in progress, because the last thing you want from a strategy is to box you in place. You need the freedom to be able to go outside those confines, and we go outside those confines all the time. So we often get asked what our strategy is, and the reality is that it is always a work in progress, and the reality is, do we even have a strategy? And the question I ask myself often is, does it matter? Which is bold coming from a strategist. But when it comes to our social, and indeed all our storytelling, there really is only one rule that we adhere to. And that's never to bore the hell out of people. I hope I'm doing a good job of that right now. We exist on social to experiment and engage with current and new audiences in service, of course, to that global ambition of conversion from dairy to oat. We believe in the power of entertaining, and we like to keep that focus by being consistently inconsistent as we go along. And you might be wondering what that's all about. Like, how do you keep it globally uniform and distinctly oatly if we're proudly inconsistent? I think it's simple to say that the inconsistency actually comes from the work. It comes from the storytelling, and the consistency comes from our strong brand, our identity, our tone of voice, and a point of view that often ventures into places that other brands dare to go. There are, of course, a few guidelines. So, as I mentioned previously, product is our purpose. It's built in. Sustainability is built into that product. So it makes sense to feature product in everything we do. I've never heard anyone at Oatly say, can you make the patch shop bigger? Can you include a logo? Because it's just actually second nature to what we do. The pack features in pretty much everything, which sounds really boring. And having worked on a lot of CPG brands in the past, it would be the one thing where you would roll your eyes going, oh, the client's asked for another pack shot, or increase the size of the logo. Can you put it in the bottom right-hand corner? And bizarrely, we do all that. And that seems relatively mundane and boring, but it is just fundamentally part of what we do. And I shared this piece, which is kind of bizarre because this is outdoor, but this was a recent launch in Paris where we wanted to do, the creative idea was to do all these street art murals. But if anyone's ever done any out of home in Paris, you'll know that these are reserved purely for graffiti artists. And if brands use them, you're not allowed to feature a pack shot or a logo. So this was our way of getting around it, using this kind of trompe l'oeil, trick of the eye. And we just decided, well, this is no longer an out of home campaign. This is a social campaign. So there were kind of three of these of different creative direction, but all laddering up to the same thing. So vive la creative rule breaking, I say.
I was skeptical. Oh. I wasn't sure.
Oat milk. We usually put yogurt, so we're going to swap it out for oatgurt.
Drink this.
Oh, no. Ma, you think it's going to swap out?
I've never had it.
I never cooked and worked out before.
Barricades to pulling this off. My dad and her dad.
It's better to use the regular milk.
You're going
to
stand there with your fingers crossed. Like
they say, the taste is in the pudding. Yeah, is that the right thing to say?
No.
Close.
So our work should always reflect the world around us, in the stories we tell, the people we work with, and the people we want to speak to. People like stories about people, and they like them when they're told by other people. And we never take ourselves too seriously. When you're working in sustainability, when you're working with vast calculations that are centered around carbon emissions and comparing yourselves to other everyday products, it's really complex. And the messaging around that is not only governed and has to be substantiated, it's just super complex around climate labeling and emissions. And when you're dealing with future of our planet, like, none of us want to be accused of greenwashing. Unless we kind of find ways to talk about these things, we're going to be guilty of green hushing. So we have to talk about the future of our planet, and we have to find increasingly more creative ways to do it. And whilst these things are heavy, we do try our best to deliver this with what we call a laugh, not a lecture, because people do want to be entertained more than they want to be told what to do. And what that often leads to is a lot of cock-ups. We've had a few issues. We've had a few campaigns where we were banned by the ASA. Again, not because of the things that we were saying that were false, but it's just the way you have to articulate them in a way that is substantiated to the nth degree. So we're not afraid to own our cock-ups. We're an incredibly transparent organization, and we like to often share those. So usually if you see anything negative said about Oatly, chances are we will have kind of taken that thing and turned it into something and popped it on fuckoatly.com. It does exist. If you want to go and take a look, grab a cup of tea and have a laugh. If you get bored of that website, you can go to fuckoatly.com, because sometimes one fuck is not enough. And you can do that up to 5 times. You can also call a hotline number at the bottom just in case you've not been made angry enough by all of this stuff that we've put on there. But it's incredibly transparent, and it tells you about all the things where we may potentially have made mistakes and then what we plan to do about them. So we talked a little bit about the consistent parts. Then there's the inconsistent parts. And this is where we get truly comfortable with the uncomfortable, where we like to lean into the fringe and get cozy with the unusual and the weird and the subcultures within the subcultures. But we don't try to be all things to all people, because this gets pedestrian and vanilla very quickly. So we like to do specific things for specific groups of people that appeal to other groups of people, because we know that if you show up for them, then chances are they'll show up for you when you need them, which helps our community management team out a lot. So that's probably about as much strategy as we have internally. So what else do we do at Oatly to maintain our distinctive edge? Let's take a peek and look at how we work within the ODMC and see if I can show you what I believe makes us special. So when the brief is consistently inconsistent and never bore the hell out of people, you're given the opportunity to do pretty much whatever you want. Smart, right? A creative wrote that, I think. The understanding that we have about our brand and how we want to behave builds trust in the system, which removes the need for briefs and rounds of strategy to get to an idea. I'm sure that there's many of you here today whose job it is to write those strategic presentations with rationale to convince people in the organization that your idea is a good idea. I'm not dismissing that. I spent 22 years doing just that. When I first joined Oatly, I think I had 6 months of anxiety because I didn't have to write a deck. And I was like, well, what do? I'm a strategist. Like, strategists write decks. Like, what's my job? And I had an identity crisis because I didn't realize you could just talk about things and you could inspire people just through words without having to have a 35-slide keynote on the back end of it. I should have learned that from today. But I don't wish to make you all jealous, but I rarely have to spend time writing a lot of decks. The last time I had to stay up past my working hours writing a deck was this one. But not waiting for the brief ultimately means that we can all just get stuck in. And with everyone in-house and working together, we can make things fast. So when someone ponders whether we need product films, we just hop to it and make a whole series. And here's 3 examples of that. I'm not sure what the brief would have even been for those, but that, I mean, genuinely, it was like, oh, we need to make some product films because people are not shaking the product. And if you've ever used Oatly, you know you have to shake it. You also know that sometimes that leads to failure, but speak to customer service. It's really important, I think, in what we do to know the rules so that we can break the rules. I don't think I'm telling anyone anything new here, but I think there are so many missed opportunities by playing by the rule book. You can often subvert things and you can break the rules without getting yourself into too much trouble. Working in such a collaborative way in our in-house team at Oatly allows us to be a little bit more agile, and all of those multidisciplines that work together allow us to kind of stop saying no to things and start asking more why. Well, why do we want to do that? What are we trying to get out of it? Because I think all too often, and again, if anyone comes from a media background like myself, I think media is always seen as the enemy of creativity, because creatives will want to do something and we pop up and go, no, you can't do that. It's not allowed, or you have to follow the rules of best practice. So we're often seen as, like, I don't know, the dream killers as opposed to the dream makers that I believe we truly are. So, you know, I try and encourage the team not to say no and to start asking why more, and then follow the rules of best practice and think about how you can either subvert them, break them, you know, do the thing that you want to do and ask for forgiveness later. And I think a good example of this is if you look back at our historic Instagram feed. When we launched on Instagram, it was very much a visual photography medium. Rules of best practice talked about engaging imagery and short caption copy. So imagine a lot of the conversations at Oatly would have been things like, hey, social media team, can we share this 520 character caption in the feed? And it'd been no copywriters. Best practice suggests that you keep caption copy to a maximum of 50. Hey Social Team, how many stories are too many stories? Well, that middle image there is one of our campaigns from Spam, and I think we had over 100 stories in one iteration. And other classics like always show your product in the best light, so let's just barbecue some frozen dessert bars. What's a frozen dessert bar, you may ask yourselves? It's a chocolate-covered ice cream on a stick, because we're also not allowed to say ice cream, but you are. So while we don't follow trends for the sake of following trends, there are some pieces of content that you just can't ignore. But if you don't move fast, you'll miss out. And I'll share this example, and let me know. You might just have to raise a hand if you're getting bored of it, because I'm still deciding whether to let it run or not. Is this example from Drea Valls, where within 6 hours, we were aware of this piece of content that had started to go viral. And we jumped in, and within less than 24 hours, we'd able to get her to record a response. And actually, within that 24 hours, she recorded two, because the first one she just did, as soon as we reached out, she just did it. And we were like, hang on a minute. And it wasn't sassy enough. And again, I think she thought she was going to have to play really nicely. And we were just like, no, lean into this, like, do what you do. So did anyone see the Mob Milk Wife series? Okay, so I'll let them play, I think. Have we got time? Yeah.
Well, well, well. Look who's come crawling back. Had enough of a spike in your glucose, have you? I should have known what you were up to from the start. All them years ago. Stopped ordering me and your Costa. Started ordering her instead. I thought it was just a phase. He'll get over it. He's dabbled before in almond milk, even though we all know it tastes like shit. But then you started only using me in your cereal. I thought that's odd. Not even gracing me with a cup of tea. And then you moved her into the fridge. And that one day, I was nearly running out and you didn't replace me. That's when I knew.
So
it was, when I knew
it was too good. Too good not to get her to do a response to this. So,
Welcome,
oat milk.
Hello, you. Back so soon. It's only been a couple of days. Has she started getting a bit whiffy already? Oh. I thought that might happen. Let me guess. You had your first bowl of cereal before you realised you'd made a big mistake.
So you get the gist. She did 8 episodes of this. She went through all the milks. And I'm just going to play this last one. This is part 6.
Well done, boys.
This is bringing the cows back.
You've gathered up the strays.
Incredible. Like, and, you know, we rode the wave of that. And the community management on it, the comments were, I was here for the comments, really. Like, people getting so into, you know, she's giving Cat Slater vibes. Like, where's the, you know, the doof, doof, doof. Like, everyone was begging for the duffers. And it was just a really nice moment in time of like, wow, I didn't know I was going to be here for an oat milk drama series or an alt milk drama series. So I think you've got to have that agility in the system. And it's not about responding to everything and being reactive to everything. I think it's worth waiting for some of those beautiful moments. Well before AI, I'm the first to say it today. We've had technology that can help us create faster content and some might say more relevant content for audiences. And whilst we're not all Luddites, we prefer to lean into the craft of making things, some might say the hard way. And with the latest explosion of what you might call digital street art or fake it because you can't make it, we're still really obsessed with embracing and obsessing the details and making things for real. And this is one example of that.
So let me get this straight. You did a bus stop ad promoting our oat drink, then made a boat sign about the bus stop ad, then did a social media post about the boat sign, then did a billboard about the social media post, then that famous organ player woman posted a video in front of the billboard, so you made a mobile truck ad about her video, then made a newspaper ad about the truck, and then made a mural about that newspaper ad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so is that it?
Well, no, because this is the internal meeting about the mural that shows the newspaper ad, that shows the mobile truck, that shows that organ woman video in front of the billboard, that shows the social media posts, that shows the boat sign, that shows the bus stop ad promoting the oat drink.
Right. So what about Instagram?
So we could have just faked the ad within the ad within the ad and made the Instagram post, but that would have been too easy. And our creatives wouldn't have got to make this video featuring themselves. We make stuff with real people for real people. Our first priority is to entertain. I think I've said that a few times. And if we can build awareness of oat drink into that content and help them understand how it can reduce the impact areas on the planet, then we'll try and do that too. We don't get overly caught up in the big business problems that a lot of other brands and marketeers do, i.e. we don't worry about showcasing the product in a perfect serve. Remember those Shake It films. Nor do we filter how people think or feel about us. We're confident enough to embrace the truth. Not everyone gets us. Not everyone likes us. And that's okay. We're really comfortable with that. We don't follow trends or obsess over the latest reports or reams and reams of data. But we are responsible for being connected to culture and people and bringing new and exciting things to the table to share, you know, experiences, lean into the niche, the weird and the mainstream. We embrace truth. We listen and engage with our communities and we find enjoyment and humor in that and believe that others do too. And most of the content that we do make does feature real people and we love nothing more than going out into the world and asking people what they think about Oatly or Oakley, which is often what happens. We're proud to keep it real and uncensored, even when it goes against us. And this is one of my favorite things that we've done. And I think you're going to see more in the UK, more along this line in the next year.
I just wouldn't drink oat drink in my tea. Like, you know, you could pay me all the money under the sun. It just doesn't taste right.
Looks like...
It's got a very non-smell smell to it.
All right, cool, let me just try it.
That's what I think of that.
Sure. That's disgusting.
It tastes like normal tea. Is it meant to?
Each their own. Like, you know, however you want your cup of tea is however you're going to have it, you know. I won't judge you for making a poor cup of tea.
One thing I haven't pointed out, I know there's a lot of quirky formats in this deck, but everything that I'm showing you today has either been played out across Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, or Reddit. We don't really do any other digital, very little programmatic or display anywhere, so it's all through the lens of social. Let creators create. Don't block them in with a super tight brief. Don't insist that they need to focus on product. I know I'm contradicting myself because I'm like, everything we do features product. It does. We give them product. We send them product. We say, feel free to use product or don't use product. Also use product however you want. You know, we don't expect people to make coffee, cook with it. They can paint with it for all we care because it's all just about brand engagement. I don't think we need to teach people that they can put oat drink in their tea, coffee, cake, Yorkshire puddings, you know, whatever they're cooking. I think people kind of get the gist of that. We just need to create kind of engagement, brand love, salience, all of the usual marketing buzzwords. So whilst you can give people the freedom of a tight brief, the tightest our brief is going to get is, do you want product? How much product do you need? And when can you get the work back to us? And then the budget.
Don't get me wrong, being an adult and living on your own is pretty great. The only problem is that I now have access to adult money, which means I can buy whatever I want, Which means I end up buying shit like this and having zero regrets about it.
I'm here to say that my stomach issues aren't ironic. I can only have a drink or a tonic, and I'm not trying to look cool.
Love him. Bungalow Jonathan, what name? Also remember, I mean, we're pretty arrogant. We think everyone loves us, and I know that's not the case, but not all creators want to work with you. Whilst I don't like to dwell on things that fail or the fuck-ups that can occur in our field of work, I think it's important to accept that sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes our partners get it wrong. And that's all right as long as we work together to ensure we don't make the same mistakes twice. I'm pretty sure we'll make them a million times. But working with so many different creators and talent can be difficult. But we all know difficult is worth doing. So we need to keep doing it. And don't worry about the odd cock-up. Happens to the best of us. And this is a brilliant example in selecting talent carefully and also how not to negotiate. We, by way of our agency, deserve this ticking off from the fabulously mischievous Zoe Bread Talk.
I ignore, mess with, or forget to read every brand deal I get offered to the point where I definitely should have been blacklisted by now. I promised I would never sell out, but I just gave all my money to the tax man and got this email while I was in a weak state of mind. In fact, they sent me 3 emails before I even replied. It was to advertise oat milk, and I drink oat milk, fine, so I sent them a really highball offer. I love my audience more than anything, but every man has his price, and this was mine. On a worse day, I'd sell you guys out for a piece of old shortbread. I was praying they would decline my offer, but it turns out I'm a natural negotiator, and a few emails later, we were on. At 5 a.m, I came up with a cinematic masterpiece of an idea. But then this morning, they came back to me and cut the money down to almost a third of what we'd agreed. I breathed a huge sigh of relief because now I get to make this video instead.
Is there any rules? Are there any don'ts of things that I can't do?
No swearing.
Does crap count as a swear word?
Crap? I don't think crap would be a swear word. Are there any other words that you were concerned about?
I was going to have the word diarrhea in it.
What context?
About how chocolate milk is made.
Oh, okay.
I already bought props for it as well, actually. Sylvanian Family's nurse set and also a dentist set. I make £40 on those.
Oh, wow. And you would include that?
In the fee?
No, I'm saying, would you include, like, the Sylvanian set into the content?
Oh, yeah, would I be allowed to do that?
I mean, double check in terms of, like, other branding.
Oh, yeah, other brands. It says something about direct competitors, but I don't really know what that means. Like, athletes or something.
So, in terms of direct competitors, as long as, obviously, OutPro is not included, obviously, as long as it's just promoting in the video or, like, talking about, that's fine.
Okay.
I may have gone on a little shopping spree this morning. It had nothing to do with this video, though. I was just really, 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 really thirsty. I got a couple of cucumbers as well.
Your video going okay?
Yeah, just thought I'd try every single oat milk that exists.
Why not?
I don't like it, but I thought it'd be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks,
Stephanie.
As long as you don't talk about any other brand, don't refer to oat milk as being oat milk, instead of oat drink.
I was going to call it maybe oat secretion.
Yeah,
secretion? Oh, oat secretion. I think you would like secrete plus, maybe. Am I allowed to mention Blackstone?
Probably not.
They invest in don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Because that was, like, one of the ethical, like, worries I had about it as well.
Okay.
I've never done an ad before. I don't think I really want to.
Have you been approached for other brands and stuff?
Oh, yeah, all the time. But I usually, like, ruin it some way.
How so? What do you mean by that? Out of all the brands, it's probably
going to
be the one that's
going to
let you have, like, that flexibility.
Yeah, probably would. Kind of a shame. If you work
with years, and there will be, like, other opportunities as well.
Yeah, they probably won't
want to
use me.
Honestly, they've put you forward and they've approved you.
I know, but they probably won't in the future.
I'm pretty confident they will, though.
Do you want to make a bet about it?
We could make a bet.
Would you actually? I mean, I'm in kind of more control of it than you, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
not really
fair.
Unfair bet. I'll bet the other way if you want.
But then
I'm still in control.
I'm
a piece of shit. I'm a horrible idiot shit. She's going to regret not taking me up on that other way bet.
So I really wanted you to see, I mean, go and check her workout. It's phenomenal. She is a piece of work. She's in, like, contradiction of copyright theft from across the board. There's a brilliant piece with Marks and Spencers and Percy Pig, which she calls Pissy Pig. She's slightly obsessed. And here's the thing, like, even after that, we kind of still want to work with her. Like, Oat Piss and the T-shirt and the mug, like, we would love that as merchandise. But she's a little bit too naughty, and that's her whole shtick. And I think that's where we were saying, like, we hadn't looked in into her background and her content enough to kind of realize that she was looking for this mischievous play to kind of stitch brands up. And our creator agency had made a mistake because, you know, we kind of said, why did you change the price? And it was just somebody had gone on holiday, blah, 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 usual scenario. And I was like, because we pride ourselves on what we pay our creators and we never want to negotiate hard. So it's really clear with them in terms of like pay the creator community what they're worth and the value. So this was a bit frustrating from our point of view because it should have never happened in that way. But also we understand, you know, people take vacation and people have to hand over. So these things can happen. But check her out. She's fun. Build a world-class community management team. We're almost there. Our community managers are our company voice, and they always speak with intention. Whether that intention is to teach people about the benefits of plant-based, or our mission to change the broken food system, encourage discussions with people who think differently, or make our fans laugh, the words we use matter. At the end of the day, we are a public company, so we can't oversell or overpromise because our words can be taken out of context and it can be seen as a public statement. So, you know, whilst our team are really excellent at communicating professionally and communicating, you know, the legal stuff around our products, they're also incredibly quick-witted and very funny. And I just wanted to share some of my personal highlights from the stuff that they've done recently. So I'll let you read that. This is a 20-year-old infomercial you just slapped your name on. I used to see this at 2 a.m. on Comedy Central like every weekend. Wait, was it that obvious it's made from old footage? Also, can you still say up past 2 a.m. on nowadays? Oh, it's not so funny. O is for horses. We like to think we're a little more inclusive. This is a scam company. Congratulations, you are the lucky winner. Click here to claim your prize. Nailed it. Drink this oil if you identify as a diesel engine. Hey, how very fast and furious of you. Stop. Right there. I got to sing with my mic, Eve. That morning slap would be pretty nice on the regular. Kinky. It's this one. I would not drink Oatly if my life depended upon it. Easy to say when you're not in a life or death situation. And my favourite, Toxic, one of Britney's greatest. They're cheeky. They're a cheeky bunch and they have a lot of fun doing what they do. And they work incredibly hard. It may not surprise you when I say, you know, have an opinion about things. We certainly do. This makes us human and most of the time it builds a lot of trust with people. We're unafraid to say what we think, even if sometimes it gets us in trouble. We're open to a fault and admit when we have made mistakes. Having worked on brands that spend an age seeking out universal truth, so not to offend anyone, you know who you are, Google and Marks and Spencers, it's refreshing to work on a brand that seeks the provocative and doesn't shy away from potential conflict, especially when it's conflicting the system that, you know, we're trying to break. So this is Caroline. She is our sustainability director for EMEA. And last year we encouraged /begged/bribed her to conduct a Reddit AMA. Here's Sam in the audience there who helped us with this. It was a labor of love. In the 10 days prior to running this AMA, we promoted it across Reddit and Instagram with the addition of LinkedIn because that allowed us to target big dairy executives. Because the whole premise behind this campaign was we were trying to get big dairy to show us their climate emissions numbers and trying to get big dairy to start to add climate labeling on their products. So to show that we meant business, the AMA featured our take on the classic lo-fi proof photo featuring Caroline and our good friend Mr. Mannequin here, who was standing in for the big dairy executive we would hope him would join us on the day. It won't surprise you when I say no big dairy exec responded, but we did have Farmer Bryce, who is a small-scale organic dairy farmer, who was nearly bankrupted by Big Dairy, raised his hand and he joined us for the AMA session, which was incredible. He was also very puntastic, which we loved. So Caroline started the AMA solo. We had like climate related questions and then kind of off topic questions were dealt with by our community management team. And then about an hour or so in, Farmer Bryce joined and started to answer some of the dairy specific questions. And really got into the kind of challenging nature of it. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this is you know, there are many places that we can play and start to have like serious conversations about climate change. And I think what we witnessed firsthand on Reddit and doing this AMA is that we achieve such a huge volume of conversation about a topic that's really difficult to get people to talk about. So this entire execution on Reddit instigated one of the largest conversations ever on climate footprint labeling, delivering over 79 million impressions, and the AMA itself delivering about 34 million impressions of that. And if anyone cares about benchmarks, we smashed every single one of them with like a crazy 154% higher upvote rate, which meant people really liked the topic. We had higher page scroll rate, higher engagement rates, and like time spent. So it's pretty phenomenal. But I think here's the interesting thing, because we can all sit and talk about impressions till the cows come home. But during this campaign period, the British government invited us to be part of, to join the Food Data Transparency Partnership, which is a task force set up to advise the government on climate labelling. Big tick. And then shortly after this campaign, Oatly was ranked as the most sustainable food and drink brand by UK consumers in an independent study by a market research agency, Impact. So, you know, these are the things that we're kind of we're looking to change a broken system. So we can look at kind of usual measurement metrics, but those latter two really counted. And I think the social that we did on Reddit were huge drivers for that. Do things other companies wouldn't do. I'm not saying they couldn't do it, because of course they can, and they have more budget than we do. They can do things that we can only dream of. But most companies choose not to do the things that we do because often it's too risky, too complicated, too time consuming, too little focus on sales, and too inconsistent to track. In January 23, we launched a newsletter, and we launched it big. With over 4,500 pieces of out-of-home content across 7 countries, the newsletter was called Spam, so the execution and implementation of that was really simple. Although it may seem ridiculous and expensive in the context of driving sign-ups for a newsletter, it was really a brand awareness campaign in disguise. So, you know, people need a laugh, not a lecture, especially in January, to counter those blues. So that's what we gave them. We followed up that out-of-home launch in February, and all the campaign touch points were catalogued in this long, tongue-in-cheek editorial mega thread on Reddit. I love Reddit, can you tell? Now, I don't know how many of you actually use Reddit, either for business or personal use, but if you do, you'll understand why Reddit, Sam over there, advised me to keep comments off and moderated. But we chose to ignore his advice because, you know the rules to break the rules. And we also like to do things other brands wouldn't do. Now, you might think this is madness, but personally, I think this is one of the best things we did about this entire campaign. We learned a lot. And while there were many negative responses, some even too rude for a sweary northerner like me to refer to, I think we created one of the biggest online discussions around plant-based milk to date, and this aligns with our belief that it's better to be hated than ignored. So I think this is a great example of taking a risk and owning it and putting the community team to work and learning from our own mistakes. I stand by keeping comments on and not moderating this campaign, but who knew that talking about a campaign about a spoof newsletter on Reddit would cause such a shitstorm? Because I certainly didn't. And again, if you're wondering if this was a success, the results speak for themselves. 144% click-through rate above bench. 144% above benchmark on a click-through rate. 3,100 reports of spam. Total success. And comments were 9,000% over benchmark as well. And I think this is the clincher. People spent over 1 minute, 25 seconds on the mega thread, which is insane. We also had one report of being marketing bros, which I take incredibly personally. And that's it. That is that. Tag for the Mickey. Thank you for your time. Hope I didn't take too much.
Lovely stuff. Well, thank you. Thanks, very much. We give her another round of applause.
Thank you. Thanks, Eve.